See, let me tell you what is there, the content, okay? First, then we'll read the rest of the mantras and finish it today. I'm not going to go to the 8th section today. We finished the first 7th section itself. See, the 6th and the 7th sections of 1st chapter of Chandogya present 2 Ishvara Upasanams. 6th chapter also, we have Maheshwara or Parameshwara Upasanam or Paramatma Upasanam. 7th section also has one Paramatma Upasanam. And both Upasanams should be practiced together to enjoy the benefit of the Upasanam. And the 6th section Upasanam is Adi Daivata Upasanam. 7th section Upasanam is Adi Adhyatma Upasanam. Adi Daivata Upasanam, Adhyatma Upasanam, what is the difference here? The object of meditation is an object pertaining to the external objective universe. In Adhyatma Upasanam, the object of meditation is an object pertaining to the individual. That is the only difference. But here, both are Parameshwara Upasanam only. In both the Upasanams are Angi Upasanam. The Upasanam prescribed in the 6th section also is Angi Upasanam. 7th section also is Angi Upasanam. Angi Upasanam means what? A main Upasanam is Angi Upasanam. A main Upasanam means it also has some other meditations. It's called Anga Upasanani. So in the first, the 6th section is Angi Upasanam, and it has 5 Anga Upasanani. 5 Anga Upasanani are there. And those 5 Anga Upasanani are for all that also. I said we have actually 2 pairs of altars. 2 pairs of Alamanani. What are they? See, amazing, isn't it? We take the Rig Veda, the body of knowledge, one Veda itself becomes an Alambanam here, altar. Like how in Gurudwara if you go, they have Granth, book as Bhagavan there. You know, even for wedding, everything, I attended a big Sikh wedding in Delhi. You know, what they do, the priest, they had to come around this husband and wife. They come around the Granth book. It's a promise, commitment. So here, the very book here, the Rig Veda text is what? At least nowadays we have textbook. Those days Rig Veda is only, everything is mental only, manasam only. Rig Veda is the object of meditation, the altar, symbol of meditation, symbol. And the Samaveda is a symbol. We have these 2 Vedas as altars, and in which we have to invoke was. It's a pair of altars we have, Rig Veda and Samaveda, in which we have 5 pairs of devatas we have to invoke. And that is said, between Rig Veda and Samaveda, there is a connection. One is independent, one is supported. Like Rig Veda mantras are originally Rig Veda mantras. However, the mantras are mantras borrowed from Rig Veda with its own musical, it's set to tunes, musical tunes. Therefore, we look at Rig Veda as the support, Samaveda as the supported. Ashrayaha is Rig Veda, Ashrayi is Samaveda. And these 2 Vedas are what? Altars. Alambanam, a support. We are not meditating upon Rig Veda and Samaveda. Our objects of meditation are other pairs of 5 pairs of devatas. And what are the 5 pairs of devatas we have? First pair of devata is Prithvi and Agnihi. Prithvi, Agnihi, first pair of devatas. And they meditated upon this Rig and Samavedas. And not only this, we have one more pair of devatas. What now? one more pair of altars, Alamanani, Sa and Ama. One word Sama is taken. It is split into two words, two syllables, Sa and Amaha. And upon this Sa and Ama, Rig and Sama, totally we have four, actually two pairs of altars. Four altars, two pairs of altars. In all these two pairs of altars, we had to meditate upon these five pairs of devatas. First, Prithivi Agnihi. Then, Antariksham Vayuhu. Chandramaha Nakshatrani Chandramaha. Dyauhu Adityaha. Then, Shuklam Bhaha Krishnam Bhaha. And then we have Adityasya, the Shuklam, the bright light of the sun, and the dark color of the sun. These are the five pairs of devatas, invoked upon these two pairs of altars. And this is the Pancha Anga Upasanani, five meditations upon subordinate deities, meditations upon subordinate deities. And who is the main deity then? Ishvara also is to meditate. What is the alambanam locus for Ishvara, Parameshwara? Adityaha. The Adityaha is the alambanam for Ishvara here. The Aditya Antargata Parameshwara Upasanam, in Angi Upasanam. So in the sixth section, we have seen the two pairs of altars, totally four altars, upon which we are meditating, five pairs of devatas are invoked, isn't it? They form the Anga Upasanani, and they will be effective only if you practice Angi Upasanam. The Angi Upasanam is, who is the devata here, who is to be meditated upon? Ishvara, the total. And so, Ishvara means, and what is the altar there? Aditya. Okay, Aditya is the altar. You take as Aditya. So you see the sun. In that sun, you are invoking the Parameshwara, the whole. You have to remember one thing I told you. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam cannot be meditated upon. Because Nirguna Brahma cannot be meditated upon. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is not possible, because Nirgunam Brahma means attributeless pure consciousness, which is not available for objectification or perception, and can never be an object of meditation. Then, is Sagunam Brahma meditated upon? Sagunam Brahma Upasanam we are doing, but Sagunam Brahma also cannot be meditated upon. Why? Because Sagunam Brahma Parameshwaraha is what? We say consciousness with this power called Maya is Sagunam Brahma. Again, consciousness is also not an object of meditation. So, Maya is also what? Where everything remains unmanifest, undifferentiated. Maya also is anadi, cannot be objectified. Therefore, Sagunam Brahma Upasanam also is not possible. Even if you look at the whole as Ishvara also is incomprehensibly vast. If the meditator mind happens to be part of the whole, how can it comprehend the whole? Isn't it? The meditator's mind, the meditator obtaining in this mind, which is part of the whole, the whole cannot be meditated upon. That is why we have an altar here also, Alambanam. So here Adityaha is the Alambanam, in which Ishvara the whole is invoked upon. Even invoking, how can invoke upon Ishvara? That is why in this Upanishad presents some special features, special qualities are taken. So attributeless Ishvara the Lord, now actually what now given, this some special qualities are attributed to the Lord, then you see the Lord as the one endowed with these attributes. Okay, attributeless Ishvara is invoked here as the one who is endowed with some special attributes. And I told you already, what is the first attribute here? You say, Ishvara Hiranmayatvam, Ishvarasya Visheshaha Gunaha. So, Hiranmayatva Guna Visishtaha Parameshwaraha. Hiranmayatvam means what? One who is of the effulgence of the gold. Ponpol Vilangahindravan, Olurhindravan, Irevan. One who is of the effulgence of gold means what? No, gold stands for light, light stands for knowledge. But what it implies is one who is of the nature of knowledge. Arive Vadivaranavan Irevan. I told you that pretty. One who is as effulgent as the gold. So Hiranmayatvam is the looked upon as the attribute of Ishvara. That is first one. Okay. Then second thing we saw, Hiranmayatvam. What's that called?
Kundalini.
Lotus eyes, isn't it? Lotus eyes. So Kapyasa Pundarika Akshini Vatvam. Kapyasa Pundarika Akshini Vatvam means what? We look upon the Lord as the one endowed with fully blossomed two lotuses. Lord as the one whose eyes are like the fully blossomed lotuses. Just we give the attribute to the Lord and we look at the Lord as it. So what does it mean again? So Pundarikam, the lotus stands for brightness and attraction. Attraction stands for what? Again, fullness. So Purnatva Gunavisishtaha Ishwaraha. Nereve Vadivinan. Arive Vadivinan, Nereve Vadivinan. So fullness is the Lord is of the nature of fullness. And the fullness is all attractive. And that is, if you say simply fullness attractive, you can't understand. So anything beautiful is attractive, isn't it? The Lord is the one who is endowed with two beautiful, fully blossomed, whose eyes are like the fully blossomed lotuses. This is second. So we say, Kapyasa Pundarika Akshini Vatvam is the second attribute. The third we say, Lord is Ud Namavatvam or Udithatvam is the third attribute. See, Lord has no attributes, but for the purpose of meditation, we now give attributes to the Lord and we look upon the Lord as the one who is endowed with these attributes. What is the next third attribute? Udithatvam or Ud Namavatvam. Which means we look upon the Lord as the one who has the name Ut. What does it mean? Why God Lord is known as Ut here? One who is beyond, one who is free from all punya papams, one who is untainted, one who is the nature of being untainted, untouched by all punya papams. Isn't it? So, we can say punya papa rahitatvam or you can say shuddhatvam. That word implies what? The Lord is of the nature of absolute purity. Thuimaye vadivanavan. See, I can tell each word, everything. Then the fourth, now the one who is of the nature of purity, one who is of the nature of fullness, one who is of the nature of knowledge, these are all the actual swarup of Ishvara. That here we are seeing it differently, isn't it? We give the attributes to the Lord. The next one is Riksama Geshnatvam. Riksama Geshnatvam is the attribute. Now look upon Ishvara as the one endowed with Riksama Geshnatvam. Riksama Geshnaha. I told you already. The word Geshnaha means Kanu. A part is called Geshnaha. In bamboo, if you see, we have many Geshnas, isn't it? Many parts. And also, If we say the sugar cane, we have the geshna. And the part in between the two parts also is what now? That portion also is called the geshna. Which means everything. Geshna means every part. You see, Rig Veda and the Sama Veda, like even the joint, you see, is what? No, joint. Rig Veda is one joint, one part of Ishvara. Sama Veda is another joint, another part of Ishvara. If Rig Veda and Sama Veda are two parts which form the Ishvara, now we have to remember all the devatas in the Anga Upasana invoked upon the Rig Veda and Sama Veda are also Ishvara. Understand now? So Rig Veda and Sama Veda are two parts of Ishvara. Therefore, all the devatas invoked upon Rig and Sama are also Ishvara, which means all that is here is Ishvara. So what is it here? Sarvatmatvam. So the Ishvara being Anaitu Vadivinan, Ishvara being the self of all the beings, is it? Ishvara is of the nature of being the self of all the beings. And that is invoked here as what? Riksama Geshnatvam. The last one. We have four now. We are going to no. Then Udgitatvam. Udgitatvam means Ishvara is looked upon as the one who is Nama Udgitaha. Which means Udgitaha literally means Omkara in Samaveda. But in this context, you look upon the Udgita as the attribute of Ishvara, it means one who is highly revered and praised and glorified. Adhigamaha Pohapadihiravan. Is it? The one who is glorified by all the worlds, always. Is it? So one who really is the real glory of everything. One who is highly glorified, Udgitatvam. Then last one is Udgatratvam. Again I told you the word Udgata means name of the Samaveda priest. But here Udgatratvam means Lord is the looked upon as the one who is the Udgata, the great singer, from whom the entire universe has been emerged, which means here again Lord is the Lord. Here the Udgatratvam implies Lord being the Lord of all the higher worlds and all the objects of enjoyment available in obtaining in the higher worlds. These are the attributes, six attributes. Okay. So here Ishwaraha Paramatma is invoked in Aditya Devata, and when he is invoked, visualized as the one endowed with the sixfold attributes. Finished. Okay. This is what now Adi Daivata Parameshwara Upasanam presented in the sixth section of the first chapter. Is it clear now? See, we talk about two, three weeks now. I want to make it very clear. Now we go to the seventh section. The seventh section also we have same Ishwara Upasanam. Here onward it will be little different and better. Okay. This one chapter you have to tolerate. The seventh section also we have Parameshwara Upasanam only. But the seventh section Parameshwara Upasanam is not Adidaiva Upasanam, it is Adhyatma Upasanam. And here also like before, we have the paths of Devatas. But in the sixth section, in Adidaivata Upasanam, we had five Anga Upasanani, but here we had only four Anga Upasanani. Four means we have only four paths of Devatas. And if four paths of Devatas are Devatas pertinent to the individual, isn't it? But here, the Alambanani, the two paths of altars are the same altars. Rik, Sama, Sa and Ama. Same altars. But the devatas are different. Like what? Same chairs, different set of guests. Isn't it? Same chairs, different set of guests. All of us will go and Sai devotees will come and sit here for singing bhajans. Arshvidya goes, Satya Sai group comes. same chairs. Like that, isn't it? So here, the same altars, devatas are different. Who are the devatas here? First we saw Vak and Pranaha. Vak and Prana are the devatas invoked upon Rik, Sama and Sa and Amma. Because Vak also individual Vak, individual Prana. Speech and the Prana, vital air of the individual. Then, Chakshuhu Atma, here is Vishwaha, the waker. Chakshuhu, Chakshurindriyam, the seeing power of the individual, Chakshurindriyam. And we say Atma means the waker here. The experiencer obtaining in the waking state is known by the term Atma. You invoke the very waker, isn't it? Namaveda. Then also Sa Nama, the third pair of devatas, Shrotram and Manaha. Shrotra Indriyam, the power of hearing and the mind are the devatas. Who do you visualize upon here? What are the devatas here? Your own power of hearing is the devata object of meditation. And next is Manaha, your own mind. Invoke this upon what? Rik, Sama and Sa and Ama. Then fourth we have Shuklam Bhaha and Krishnam Bhaha. Only difference is Bhaha means light, effulgence. Bhaha also means color. This Shuklam Bhaha means the bright side of the sun there, is it? There, the bright light of the sun in the other upasana. Here, bright, the white part of the eye, individual eye. Then Krishnam Bhaha means the black spot of the individual eye. We never think of meditating upon this black spot of the eye, isn't it? You say, take this Krishnam Bhaha and Shuklam Bhaha as two devatas. No, Upasya devatas. That is the beauty of the culture, Vedic culture. Nothing we see as inert matter. In fact, inert matter which shines is an illumination of consciousness. Inert matter, which is objectified, which is experienced, is what? Experienced means it is no more inert. It is illumination of consciousness, it is knowledge. எதுவுமே ஜடமா பார்க்க மாட்டோம், எல்லாம் உணர்வின் தோற்றம். எவ்ரி ஜடம் இஸ் ஆல்சோ உணர்வின் தோற்றம். இட்ஸ் எலிமினேஷன் ஆஃப் கான்சியஸ். தட்ஸ் வை கால் தேவதா. சி யூ ஆர் சீயிங் தி ஒயிட் பார்ட் அண்ட் தி டார்க் ஸ்பாட். ஆதித்யஸ்ய தேர் ஹியர் தக்ஷிணா, ஹியர் அக்ஷ்ணா, அக்ஷ்ணஹா கண்ணின் அந்த விழுந்த பகுதி, கருப்பான பகுதி. இஸ் இட் அக்ஷ்ணஹா? Shuklambaha, Krishnambaha are the fourth pair of devatas invoked upon Rik, Sama, Sa and Amaha. That's it, we have this devatas. Then apart from that, what else we have? Now we have Ishwara Upasanam. Here, there, in the sixth section, Parameshwara's, the locus of invocation is, where we invoke is Aditya Devata, Sur, Sun. And here, your own Dakshina Akshi, right eye. Right eye is the Alambanam for Parameshwara. The Bhagavan, the whole is invoked upon where? In your own right eye. Even you're invoking Parameshwara in this right eye, which means what? You look, see the right eye, you see the right eye as Ishwara, the whole. I mean, see the Ishwara, the whole, in right eye as Ishwara, the whole, you are not really bowing to your own eye. You are bowing to, you are worshipping, you are glorifying, you are visualizing Bhagavan, the whole. And you see Ishwara as the one endowed with the same special attributes. Guna Visishtaha Ishwaraha. But here we have one more extra guna also we have. Same gunas, Hiranmayatva Gunavisishtaha Ishwaraha. Now, Then Kapyasa Pundarika Akshini Vatva Gunavisishtaha Ishwaraha. Same attributes are looked upon here as Ishwara's attributes. Then Uditva, no, Utnamatva Gunavisishta Ishwaraha. Then Udgitatva Gunavisishtaha Ishwaraha. Then Udgatritta Gunavisishta Ishwaraha. One more thing we have, you know. So Udgatrittam here means what? We look upon Ishwara as the one who is the Lord of not only the higher worlds, of all the world known worlds, knowledge of enjoyment available here in this worlds. The only difference, Udgata there, when you look upon Ishwara as the one who is the Udgata, there you see the Lord as the one who is the Lord of all the higher worlds and the objects appearing in the higher worlds. And he, in this sixth section, you see the Lord as the Udgata, you see the Lord as the Lord of all the worlds here and the objects enjoyable in this world. That is the difference. And apart from that, actually, one more thing is there, Lord Aishwaryavatvam is one more special quality. When you invoke Parameshwara in your own right eye as the one endowed with many special attributes, one of the attributes is what? Lord is the one is endowed with all forms of wealth, the prosperity in its entirety. Bhagavan is the only owner of the entire wealth. Ma Dhavaha, husband of Lakshmi, means what? He owns Lakshmi. Everything is Lakshmi and he is owner of Lakshmi. Which means what? No wealth belongs to anybody here. Okay? All the wealth belonging to everybody is what belongs to Bhagavan only. So, Madhavaha, husband of Lakshmi means what? Lord of all wealth. Lord of the entire cosmos. Sarva Aishwaryavatva means what? We look invoke Bhagavan as the one endowed with what now? Bhagavan as the one being the Lord of the prosperity in its entirety. Selvam anaitrikkum thalaivan. Lord of the prosperity in its entirety. Which means, here the Upanishad does not present directly this Aishwaryavatvam. Bhagavan being the Lord of all wealth is not directly presented here. The Aishwaryavatvam being the attribute is not given directly. It says, there are people who meditate upon the Lord, they sing in praise of the Lord upon Veena. So, Veena ipad solrukkinathla. Veenam vadayantaha ye gayanti. So, singing in praise of the Lord who playing the Veena, and those people are blessed with lots of riches. Playing Veena, if the people sing in praise of the Lord, this Bhagavan, this Upanishad says, Bhagavan blesses them with lots of wealth. Which means, even they become very rich people, means, how rich Bhagavan must be. Isn't it? People who glorify Bhagavan singing, you playing Veena, are blessed with lots and lots of riches, become very rich, means, the bestower of the riches must be what now? Very rich. Therefore, that's how we Upanishad presents Bhagavan being the Lord of the prosperity in its entirety. This one special attribute added here in the seventh section. Okay? So, four Anga Upasanani, one Angi Upasanam, wherein Lord is invoked upon right eye, and that Lord is looked upon as the one endowed with this seven special attributes. This is two Ishwara Upasanas are over. Okay, we'll read from the fifth mantra, okay? See, until the fourth mantra of the seventh section, four Anga Upasanani are presented. Until the fourth mantra, Anga Upasanani are presented, wherein how Rig and Sama, Sa and Amaha are the same altars, upon which the four pairs of devatas are invoked. Isn't it? That is said. And the fifth mantra onwards, Angi Upasanam is presented. Let us see the mantra. I have already told you. We will see that. Atha Yaha Yeshaha Antaha Akshini Purusho Drishyate. Okay. Now, Yaha Yeshaha Akshini Antaha Purushaha Drishyate. He says, Bhagavan the whole, Ishvara the whole, obtains in everybody's right eye, obtains in everybody's mind, every part of the body Bhagavan is there. But he has specially taken here as what now? Bhagavan the whole is what now? Antargataha Akshini, obtaining in everyone's Akshini, in the eye, as the very seeing power, isn't it? It is Ishvara the whole, who is in the form of everything alone, is here for you in your own right eye as the very seeing power of the eye. Okay, what is the locus now? What is the alamanam here? Is for Ishvara, your right eye, Dakshinakshi. And that Dakshinakshi Ishvaraha, in fact, what? He is everything is Ishvara. That Upanishad says first, Saivaruk Tatsama Tadutkam Taduktam Tadyaju Tadbrahma Tasya Yetasya Tadevarupam Yad Amushyarupam Yavamushya Geshnau Tau Geshnau Yannama Tannama. See, in this mantra, when you read, you don't get any meaning. What Upanishad says here is, see, Bhagavan the whole is invoked as what? In your own Dakshinakshi, right eye. But that Bhagavan is also what? Is looked upon here as the one endowed with all the attributes. Vishesha Gunaha. What are the Gunaha here? The same Gunas which have been seen, presented in the previous section. Upanishad repeats it. Upanishad does not repeat it. Here, Upanishad does not repeat the attributes. The Vishesha Gunaha, Ishwarasya Vishesha Gunaha, the special attributes of the Lord are not repeated here. Upanishad merely says, please take all the attributes of the Lord from the previous chapter, take them here. But what is said here? Only one thing it says, all the Vedas are Ishvara. Sama, Rik, everything is Ishvara. Isn't it? So, it says, the one same form you take it. Yad Rupam, Tadeva Rupam. Whatever form, whatever form you invoked Ishvara in the previous section, the same way you have to invoke here also. Which means what now? Again, bring in all those things now. Let us say once now. Hiranmayatva Gunavisishtaha Ishvaraha. Lord is the one endowed with the attribute of effulgence. Isn't it? Which means what? Lord is of the nature of knowledge. Then again, Kapyasa Pundarika Akshinivatvam. Lord is the one endowed with these two blossomed lotuses, which stands for fullness, Purnatvam. Then third attribute, Lord is what? Udit Utnamavatvam. So Lord is of the nature of, no, the purity. One who is free from all punya papams. Then we have Lord. Geshtatvam. Lord is the one who has Rig and Sama as his parts. Thereby, Lord is in the form of all the devatas also, which means Lord is the self of all the beings, the fourth attribute. Then the fifth is, Lord is the one who is highly glorified by all the people, which is known as Udgitatvam. Then the sixth is what? Udgatratvam means, Lord is the one, actually, who is the Lord of all the worlds here, and also all the devatas, which is going to be said in the next mantra, following mantra. So the sixth have gone already. Saha, now read the sixth mantra now. Saha yeshaha. Yecha. Yetasmat. Arvancho lokaha. Teshanche ishte. Teshancheshte. Manushya kamanan cheti. So now next, one more thing he says. Arvanchaha lokaha means these lower worlds. Urdhva lokaha means higher worlds. Arvanchaha lokaha means these lower worlds. See, Lord is looked upon as the Lord of all the worlds here and also all the objects of this enjoyment in this world. This is one thing. Now, Manishya Kamanam. Manishya Kamanam means Lord is the one, Lord of all the objects enjoyable by human beings in this world. Which means everything is Ishwara. That's what he says. Tadya ime vinayam gayanti yetam te gayanti tasmat te dhanasanayaha. See, this is the only special quality which is the seventh attribute. In the previous section, we have only six attributes. The seventh attribute is Lord is looked upon as the Lord of the prosperity, the wealth in its entirety. How do we know? Who does not directly say Lord is the one who is the Lord of all the property, all the wealth. Lord says, Ye vinam gayanti, vinayam gayanti, those who sing in praise of the Lord upon Veena, and those people become dhanasanayaha. They become very, very rich. People who sing in praise of the Lord become very rich means Lord must be the Lord of the wealth in its entirety. This is one more attribute look upon us, that's all. With that finished. Now, this seventh mantra, seventh and eighth, ninth, the three mantra we have Palashruti. Palashruti means what now? The benefit of meditation. The fruit of meditation. No? What is the fruit of meditation? That is given here. Atha, yaha, yetad, evam vidvan, samagayati, ubhau, sagayati, saha, amunaiva, saha eshaha, yecha, amushmat, paranchaha, lokaha, tams chapnoti, devakamamscha. Nothing is much said here. Now what is said here? Those who practice these two upasanams. The Parameshwara upasanam, Adidaiva Parameshwara upasanam presented in the previous section. So Adhyatma Parameshwara upasanam mentioned in the seventh section. Ubhav, those who practice, upasanam, they become what now? They attain all the objects of the higher world as well as of this world. See, yad bhavaha tad bhavati. See, the meditation is all based, any meditation is based on this one law, reasoning. Now, what it is? Whatever you are focusing on all the time, you will get it. That's why nothing is impossible here. Whatever you are placing attention on, you will get it. Yad bhavaha tad bhavati. This is what people, modern day people call mind power, thought power. It is not something that they get newly. Our Upanishad has said everything taught us earlier. Whatever you want, you think of that all the time, you get it. Which means where you are focusing on, that is why mind is a precious, precious thing. Where you place it, that must be very careful. What you are placing your attention on, what you're paying attention on continuously. You pay attention on a given object for a second, only attention placed. Already distracted, isn't it? But you're placing attention continuously on for length of time on a something, which means that object becomes what? Holds your attention more. The more you focus attention on a given object, the more attention holds, object holds attention. The more you dwell upon it, the more you dwell upon it, the more you dwell upon it, you get it. You become that. எதை இடையராது எண்ணுகிறோமோ அதுவாகவே நாம் ஆகிறோம். This is secret, okay? That is why for any scientist, any musician, suppose we had people like Ragaraja and all of them, great musicians. See, the Siddhis also is nothing. Actually, to be frank, it's only the amount of hard work. It's not an easy joke. All the time to focus on something. Any scientist comes with a new, he discovers something new. What does it mean? He only dwells upon the given object. Focuses on. You have something external also. The knowledge has to rise only in the mind. You have to see inside first for you to be able to see outside. The law of gravitation, Newton saw outside. Do you think he saw it outside first by seeing the apple? Seeing the falling apple falling down, he found the apple where? The tree is outside, external to the body. The apple is outside, the object of his perception. He sees that. But the law of gravitation, the earth has the gravitational force. That knowledge, you know, that has risen from a thought in the mind only first. It only nimitta for him to have that. Understand? That's why whoever you focus means whatever you are focusing on. Whatever becomes your important, what becomes your priority, you're focusing on that means you're getting it. You will not be deprived of that. That is law of karma also. This is the basis for any meditation. So Upanishad actually, when you want to see, the upasanas are prescribed, I told you, for three things. Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the truth. Only truth must be discussed here. Why unnecessarily upasana meditations here? These meditations are, I told you, meditations are also what? They contribute for Krama Mukti. If we practice, we are asked not to practice, okay? If we practice Krama, see Brahma Vidya Upanishad, it gives you Sadhya Mukti, means the practice of Upasana supposed to give you what? Krama Mukti. Mukti later on, isn't it? And one more thing, Upanishad contributes for what? It becomes Nishkama Upasanam. It contributes for mental preparedness required for Jnanam. Second aspect. The third thing is, the Upasanam when you practice really, seeing every small aspect of Ishvara. Otherwise, the mind is so dead. It doesn't have much time. There's no aesthetic sense. We never pay attention to see even one tree beauty, say, sir. We go and see, do we simply look at it? Do we really see it? How much do we absorb, understand it, learn from that? No, we don't do that. Upanishad helps us to be with the objects, to see the beauty of it. So, it contributes for mental expansion, manasaha vaishalyam. And also it contributes for chitta mayansaha aikagrim, single pointedness. This is the purpose of practicing. Upasana will not give you moksha, it will not remove your ignorance, but this is the benefit of meditation, generally speaking. This is why even if you don't practice, by reading it also, what now? We should get these benefits. It prepares our mind for jnanam in terms of mental steadiness. Definitely it contributes for single-pointedness. And if it contributes for expansion of the mind, appreciation of Ishvara as order more, then definitely it contributes for Krama Mukti, if we practice that. Upasana is all discussed. So here we see, what the Upanishad says here, whatever you are practicing, definitely those who practice this meditation will be blessed with what? Accomplishment of all the higher worlds, and these worlds means what? That you will not be deprived of the enjoyment of pleasures available here and also above. Which is not moksha. Isn't it? You will be blessed with enjoyment of pleasures here and above. That is what Upanishad says. Atha anenaiva yecha etasmat arvanchaha lokaha. So paranchaha lokaha arvanchaha lokaha. Merulahangal, keerulahangal. Higher worlds and the lower worlds. All the worlds you will be able to enjoy. All the objects in this world also you will be able to enjoy. Tamcha apnoti. Manushya kamamscha. Not only the celestial pleasures, also have all human pleasures. Objects of pleasures. Tasmat. O. Ha. Evam viduhu. Udgata bruyat. So Udgata priest, Samaveda priest, makes an announcement. Whoever practices these two meditations, they will enjoy all the higher worlds and the objects, also all the lower worlds and the objects of these lower worlds. Which means, those who practice both these upasanas will be blessed with enjoyment of everything, all the pleasures. That's the meaning. Kamte kamam agayani iti yeshah hi eva kamaganasya ishte. Okay, what he says first? Kam te kama agayani. He says, usually, when Samaveda priest is called Udgata. When Udgata sings the Samaveda, through his singing, he is capable of bringing some prosperity. If the Samaveda priest known as Udgata, if he sings the Samaveda mantras, and through his singing, he can bring prosperity to us. Now, this man is asking, you are meditator of Ishvara, so by practicing meditation, you are already blessed with all the pleasures and of all the worlds. Now, through my singing, what pleasure can I bring you? By my singing Samaveda mantra, I need not bring any pleasure to you, any prosperity to you. I cannot fulfill any of your wish now. I don't need to fulfill any of your wish by my singing, through my singing Samaganam. Why? Because by practicing upon Ishvara, you are already blessed with all the worlds. Paranchaha lokaha, arvanchaha lokaha. You are blessed with all the worlds, all the pleasures of enjoyment. Okay? So, Gayani, he says, Gayani, Agayani means through my singing, what wish can I fulfill through my singing? Pleasure or what object can I get you through my singing? Which means, I don't need to do anything for you, you will get everything by your own practice of meditation. It's a glorification of meditation. Okay, that's all. Now he says, kama aganasya ishte. So, yaha evam vidvan. So, yaha evam vidvan. The one who, yaha evam vidvan means, the one who practices this meditation is capable, okay, is efficient and proficient, capable of getting all the wishes fulfilled. Okay, kama aganasya means is capable of getting. Ishte means capable. This person is capable of fulfilling all his wishes. How? By practicing this meditation. Okay, this is what samagayati. Upanishad says now. Samagayati, Samagayati. When he Upanishad says two times, Samagayati, Samagayati, this repetition actually is indication of the completion of the section. It's like the seventh section is over. What is the finally he says here? The priest says this aloud. What does he say? Through my singing, what wish can I fulfill? What wish of yours can I fulfill? What prosperity or pleasure can I get you through my singing? I cannot bring anything. Why? Because I already got everything. How? By practicing this meditation upon Ishvara. This is the glory of meditation, the benefit of meditation. In the last three verses. Okay? So with this, the Ishvara Upasana is over. Two sections are over. I told you already, I'm not doing word by word the Upasana section. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
There is a in a previous meditation, I think it's called Abhayatvam and Amritatvam Upasana. You said the fruit of this meditation is to be free of fear of death.
The first one. Not this one.
Not this one, in a previous one.
And see, each meditation has its own phalam.
Yes.
That meditation I talked about in much earlier sections.
Yes. And in this one, you said today, one of the fruits of the Gita meditation is to be free of Punyapapa. You said this in the last class.
Yeah, yeah. See, generally what happens, generally, that is why one will be blessed with the all forms of wealth and prosperity of this world and that world, which means one will be free from, liberated from all punyapams also. We mean how? By being blessed with the krama mukti. I didn't go to that extent actually. Generally, it is only relatively you can accomplish, not absolutely. Absolute moksha is not possible by meditation.
Okay, that would be my question.
Yeah. We say that fear, how indirectly this meditation prepares your mind for jnanam, thereby we give best with the jnanam, thereby indirectly it contributes for the attainment of immortality and freedom from fear of death. That way, if it are anything it says, you have to say indirectly, not directly. So this upasanam is only says all forms of wealth. All forms of wealth, all forms of pleasures, if you want, you have to practice both these meditations. Understand? But we are interested in moksha and jnanam, so we can understand 6th chapter properly. We can understand this. But I tell you one thing, we are not missing these upasanams. That is why present day we have what? Substitute. Even today, we are very serious. Pray to every day, do Lakshmi Ashtotram. Every day, do Vishwasahasranama. You will get it, same phalam you will get it. Every day, do Om Namah Shivaya Mantra. Do 1,000 items every day, Om Namah Shivaya Mantra. How can it be missed? No? The mind is prepared for jnanam. Om Namah Shivaya Mantra, japa will not remove ignorance. The japam will give you the single pointedness, thereby the person will take, everything will become very clear. Isn't it? We have substitute. See what I'm saying? The Upanishad meditations seem to be very complicated. These are all not at all complicated, very simple. It is like he's eating our, today's apricots. Very easy for people of Vedic times. For us, very, very complicated. So we have substitute today. What is that? Regular mantra japa. If we have Shraddha, every day morning, with a focus attention, get up in the morning, have shower, wear clean clothes, you must have you must be able to do that. You have so many things, getting up, you have so many things, distract your mind, isn't it? No thought other than Ishvara. That's why we must be very punyam, we must have a lot of punyam to be able to do Bhagavad Smaranam also in the morning. We think of the whole world and all the problems, that's why we get up. And the newspapers also distract us. The news also distract us, divert us. What is there in the world? Let the whole world, the world, everything is in the world as in the it should be in the world. Whatever is in the world today, it exactly perfectly how it should be today. The world is perfectly how it should be today. We need not worry about the world. When let us get up in the morning, have a shower, wear clean clothes, and then sit. No, light the lamp. If you don't need to light the lamp also, just sit quietly with yourself and start your japam. If you are Sahasranama, do it. For Namashivaya, Avnama Narayanaya, any one thing, focus attention. The whole mind is attention is only with the words. Don't need to worry about the meaning and all that. Just the mind is with the words. The whole jagat disappears for you. Every day do it. Same Lakshmi will come to you. Really, Satyam. This is Satyam. This is Satyam. Parama Satyam. We have to do it. But are we able to do it? We do once in a while. That is why we know our minds are very well known in the tradition. That is why every day Ammavasya start Ammavasya. Pitru Tarpadam. Worship ancestors on Amavasya. Bhagavan, they know we won't do that. Every day, calendar if you take in Indian calendar, every day special day for us. Amavasya start. Okay, Pitru Tarpanam. The Amavasya then also we do other pujas. Then Prathama comes. Now again we have something else. Dvitiya comes. We have some other puja. And Tritiya comes. Something else. That day also we have Agar puja. Chaturthi comes. Ganesh Chaturthi. Guru Panchami. Kanda Shashti, okay, Ratha Saptami, Gokula Ashtami, Rama Navami, Vijaya Dashami, then Ekadashi, Virjala Upavasa, Dwadashi, Paranam, we had to do puja, again Trayodashi, Pradosham, again Purnima, Devi, Abhishekam puja, all 15 days Indian calendar, every day we have some excuse, something we had to be worshipping. And whole of Ashada month and now this month, 15th of July to 15th of August, I tell you, we have every day is a very month, especially exclusively for worshipping Devi. Again, October exclusively for worshipping Devi. And Purta, that month exclusively for Vishnu worship. Only for Devi for this month. Worship Devi. And all is this, and the Shravana Masam comes, we have Krishna Jayanti, we have Ganesh Chaturthi, and we have special things. In between, we have celebrated also what now all our Mahatmas are there, they celebrate birthday celebrations. Do they expect birthday celebrations, cake cutting? They don't care. But we do it to think of them. Why Manikavachar Tirunakshatram? Why? Because for us to think of what Manikavachar has said. Alvar Tirunakshatram. Why? What they have said. So by thinking of their birthday, we think of what they have sung and what they have done. Though our culture, I say the very lifestyle, every day must be a day of worship only for us. That's why before eating worship, same mantra, after eating same mantra, before going to bed, before doing that, before doing everything, you do mantra, chanting. No fraction of a second you're allowed to be without Bhagavan's thought. Slow preparation. So culture itself provides that beautiful, provides all conducive, you know, the atmosphere for us to be with Bhagavan. That is why Upanishad promises, if you practice this Ishvara, through this, you know, worshipping Ishvara, just placing my attention only on Bhagavan, as the Adidaivata Upasanam, Adhyatma Upasanam, I see these as Alambanani, I see these Devatas, and invoke them upon all these Devatas. And from there I take the mind upon this, see Bhagavan as the wonder, all these attributes and glories. And then means, where are you? Bhagavan only. You practice seriously, and you will be blessed with all forms of wealth, no doubt about it. That is why in Tamil we say, this worship in fact, the Upasanam is a manasam karma, mental activity. It contributes for mental preparedness, mental steadiness, mental single-pointedness. Apart from that, it's a form of worship also. And present day we have a substitute to what now? The Murti worship is a present day substitute we have. There a mind must be there physically we are doing something, overly we are chanting. Vachikam, manasam, kayakam, karma, what we are doing at present is a substitute for Vedic meditation. The forms are different, the spirit behind the forms is, form is the one and the same. Even today if we do it with Shraddha, you will be blessed with all, everything. So pray, worship today, Murti worship is for our prosperity only. Valam pera vajipadu. All forms of wealth will be 100% blessed with. Your prayer and worship will never go waste if you have 100% Shraddha and focus. Mind must be placed there. We break the coconut, we offer the flowers, we offer the naivedyam, we go visit there, but mind goes elsewhere. That is the problem. Otherwise, for all the pujas being done in the temples, the whole England, one Lewisham Shivan temple must have made the whole of this area richest area. Why? At least people are going. Something is being done. For Panyam is there. But if, as Upanishad says, if we focus, Shraddha is there. Then that is why where worship, temple worship is itself to remove the poverty away from the areas. In India, when they build the temples, Nitya Aivedyam is puja is not being done properly, the poverty will come around so many areas of the acres of the land. We say that. One vigraha pratishtha is done, do everything properly, there is the poverty will come. Building a temple is easy. Afterwards, you have to maintain it correctly. That's very important. See, if you can't maintain, don't do it. Let me say that. Why I am saying, even today, our worship, what you worship, this simple chanting you do, a japa you are doing, if we do, you place your mind there totally, that is the most difficult thing. We offer everything. What Bhagavan wants is mind. Other than mind, we give everything to Bhagavan. Isn't it? At least we try, but trying for dragging the mind towards Bhagavan by taking the coconut to Bhagavan, we drag the mind along with the coconut. Really, along with the banana, we drag the mind to Bhagavan. Because mind goes elsewhere. We have to drag it. This is all practice, isn't it? What is, you see the riches of the culture, vastness of the vision behind this. Finally, your mind has to be taken there. That is what running away somewhere. And to take the mind, you have to take everything. Slowly, slowly. That is why present day worship also, if we do it with the same Shraddha, no doubt you will be blessed with all forms of wealth and all forms of pleasures. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha, everything can be is accomplishable. To worship and prayer, which is a present day substitute for Vedic meditation. That's what our children need to understand. So they don't think it's a meaningless thing because they feel so bored when they go to temples. And the priest has to make it too elaborate and drag it simply. Too much of chant, nobody understands that the children, youngsters nowadays feel bored. I wish really under the significance of worship and people, all the children pray and worship and they get everything. Okay? There's nothing is impossible if you pray. Pray for it with focus, attention. Pray, you will get it. And you pray for your moksha, you will be end up what now. You'll be able to focus well the shastra, you'll be able to understand quickly also. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.